All right, so Romans chapter 15. We are almost finished with Romans. Darren, we've been in it for a little over a year. We started in October of 2017. We started in the book of Romans. And other than Christmas, Easter, special speaker, we have been in Romans every Sunday. And so we're almost finished. So we'll be looking at it today, obviously, next Sunday special speaker. Then the following Sunday, we will probably, probably the last Sunday of February, we will be finishing up with Romans. So then in March, we're going to be getting into the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, and talking about how Christ is a servant. Christ a servant, as we look at the Gospel of Mark. So follow along with me as I begin reading. I'm going to start with verse 14, and we're going to read all the way through verse 21. All right, so follow along with me. "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of, number one, goodness, number two, filled with all knowledge, and also, number three, to admonish one another. But nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I make glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand." Will you pray with me? Our Father God, as we have just finished reading your wonderful word and your text this morning, I pray now that our hearts and minds would pay very close attention this morning to the teaching of your word. I'm very thankful, Father, of how you have led me to the book of Romans and how you have used me to teach it and to preach it, how it has been convicting and also comforting all at the same time. And Father God, I pray now that as we conclude it over the course of the next 2 to 3 Sundays, I pray that we would finish it well. Our Father, once again, be with those sick, be with those traveling, be with Vance and Marcia as they are helping his sister get settled in her new living facility. I pray that you'd be with them as well. And Father, I pray that as we go into your word, Father, I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. But also, Lord, I pray that you would use me greatly as I teach and preach today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul now is now concluding his letter to the church in Rome. He has now completed what we call his doctrinal treatise of this letter, of beginning with chapter 1 and going all the way through where we finished up last week with verse 13 of chapter 15. So now he is finishing this letter with his final comments concerning the ministry. So what we read and will discuss in this present text this morning is how the Apostle Paul is giving defense of his ministry. Now let me break it down 3 ways that he has been bringing his ministry to the Church of Rome. First thing is this, he was defending his boldness. Now, as we have gone through this letter the past year, he has been bold, confrontational to them. You know, there are many times that when presenting the gospel, presenting His word, you have to be confrontational. The preacher that is afraid to confront should not be a preacher. Because a true preacher of the gospel must be one that can confront from the pulpit, but also confront face to face. He did not start this church, nor had he ever visited. Other than, as we will finish up this letter, a few people that he knew there, he had never been there. He had never preached there. He did not start the church. But yet, throughout this letter, he bores out his heart, his soul, as we saw over and over, especially in Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, where he just opens up his heart to them about his own struggles, his own transparency, of where he says, the things I want to do, I don't do them. The things I know I should be doing, I'm not doing them. Who shall deliver me from this body of death, O wretched man that I am? Calls himself a wretch. So as he concludes, he speaks to them warmly. And he speaks to them thoughtfully. He describes to them in this text this morning, I believe, and I believe you will see it as well, of what and how a true minister of the gospel should be and should live. So, God forbid you leave here, or you need another pastor. God forbid that happen anytime soon. These are some qualities you need to look for in a pastor. Because the Apostle Paul describes in these verses of what a true minister should be. So, let's look at it. Number one, God's messenger is a partner. He is a partner in faith with God's people. He's a partner. Okay? Yes, I'm pastor, but I'm also a partner with you. Members, we're partners together. We're co-laborers in the gospel together. Okay, we're partners. I want you to look at verse 14. I want you to note something very interesting here of how he addresses them. Where he says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my what? Brethren. You, my brethren. Underline that, if you will, please. My brethren. That is a term of endearment. The Holman actually has it translated as brothers and sisters. The Apostle Paul sees himself as an equal. Yes, I'm the pastor, but I'm also equal with you. I'm not a lord over you. We are equals together in pursuing holiness. Holding one another accountable. Living out the gospel. Paul sees himself as an equal, as addressing them, I believe, in the most gracious of terms. Those of you that are my age and maybe a little older, I'm sure Darren remembers this. We don't do it as much now as we used to. I kind of wish we'd get back to this. But calling each other brothers and sisters. Such as Sister Faye. Okay? Brother Darren. Sister Joyce. Okay, Brother Aaron. Calling each other brothers and sisters. I think we have gone away from that because we don't want to sound weird. And sound odd. But as Jody said this morning, she was talking to a friend of hers from New York. And I guess she's what, Methodist? And she asked Jody where she went to church. She said, I go to Lighthouse Baptist. She said, oh, you're one of them. You know? Yeah, you know what? We are one of them. And I'm very thankful to be one of them. Okay? I'm very thankful to be called that. Yeah, we do need to be odd. We do need to be different. That is, to me, that is the greatest term that you can call someone is your brother, your sister. So Paul commends them for three wonderful qualities of their life. Let's look at them. The first one, goodness. Now, how does he describe it? Does he say a little bit of goodness? A tiny bit of goodness? No, he says you are what? Full of goodness. What does that mean, goodness? Well, it means to be upright of heart and life. You're good and you're kind. We see this same Greek word of goodness also in Galatians 5:22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Secondly, he says that you are filled with all knowledge. What does it mean to be knowledgeable? It means you have an understanding. Not just an understanding, but it means you have a deeper and more perfect and enlarged knowledge of Christ, of God's Word, of the holiness of God. You have a desire to be knowledgeable. Let us see, is there able to admonish one another? To admonish one another means to warn, to exhort, to encourage. So let me ask you three questions and we could also use these as applications. Number one, question one, are you living a life that is good? Are you good? Are you kind? Is every aspect of your life good? Do you have good thoughts? Do you talk good? Do you act good? Do you have a good attitude? Do you have good and pure motives? Galatians 5:22, once again, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Let me admonish you here for a moment. Confrontational. If you are not known as being a good Christian, of good actions, good attitude, good motives, good words, good thoughts, you are not placing your life underneath the submission of the Lordship of Christ and underneath the submission of the Holy Spirit. Because what is goodness a sign of? A fruit of the what? Spirit. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Now keep your finger here. We're going to use our Bibles a lot this morning, so don't go to sleep on me. Colossians 1, let's look at verse 36. Oh, I'm sorry, 3 through 6. I didn't see the little dash. Okay, it says, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and what? Bringeth forth fruit. And it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. You want to know one area of how you can bring forth fruit? Be good. Act good. Act kind. Look, I go outside of here. I go out into the community. I hear people say, you know what? Christians can be the meanest people. You know, Morgan worked at a pizza place, restaurant. You know what the waiters and or the staff there told her? That Sunday is the worst day of tipping. Because Christians don't tip. They don't like to work on Sundays. Because they don't get tipped good on Sundays. I was embarrassed that I took a group of pastors up there for luncheon. And I encouraged them. I said, look. I said, some of these waitresses that are going to be waiting on you, I believe, are probably lost. And it would be a great testimony for you to be a good tipper. But you know what? It was the opposite. They were poor tippers. They were awful tippers. I was embarrassed. That should never be the case of believers. Well, they were rude to me. They may have had a bad day. And by you leaving a good tip may just be the thing that they need to hear of the gospel. Secondly, are you full of knowledge? Do you know about God? Do you know Christ? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know the definition of justification, sanctification? Do you know why God is just? Do you have a desire to know more of God's Word? Do you read God's Word? Do you study God's Word? Do you listen to good teaching outside of here? Do you listen to good teaching? Do you listen to good preaching? Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this morning, I was listening to good teaching. On Mondays and Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, I listened to Al Mohler. I listened to John MacArthur. I listened to R.C. Sproul. This morning, I listened to Martin Lloyd-Jones talking about Romans chapter 15 of verse 4. Why? I need to know more of God's Word. I need to be taught. I need to be preached to. That is why Sean and I are going to the Together for the Gospel conference in April. Why? I need to be taught. I need to be preached to. We all need it, do we not? So let me encourage you. Have a desire to increase your knowledge of the Lord. Read good literature. That's why I recommend good books for you to read so you can know more about the Lord. Thirdly, third question, are you encouraging your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you encouraging them? Are you admonishing them? Are you confronting them? When a member or a tender is absent, do you call them? Do you write them? Do you visit them? Do you write them a card? Tell them you miss them? You follow up on them? Look, don't leave it to me. Don't leave it up to Aaron. Are we not co-laborers together? Okay? We all have to follow up on one another. We all have to hold one another accountable. Let's go, stay in Colossians. Let's look at chapter 3. Let's look at verse 16. Okay, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How do you do that? You teach it. You admonish one another. In what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then it continues. This could go back to number one. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, if you practiced putting every thought, every speech, every action, every attitude, every motive in the name of Jesus, it would be very difficult to sin. We give thanks to God and Father by Him. So let's go now, go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look at verse 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. You say, Pastor, why do you text me on Monday when I'm out on Sunday? Now, if you text me on Sunday morning, you'd let me know that you're absent. You let me know that you're sick. Or you let me know on Friday prior you're out of town. You don't have to worry about getting a call from me on Monday. I know you're sick. I know you're out of town. Okay, Vance and Marcia, I know they're out of town. They don't have to worry about a phone call from me. But if you're absent, okay, I'll be checking up on you. Why? Because I want to be obedient to what God's Word says in verse 25. Let's look at it. Verse 25 here says, let's begin with verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke. What does provoke mean? To encourage, to push. Okay, my phone call, my text on Monday morning is provoking you. Is pushing you. When Aaron says, hey, have you heard from so-and-so? No, I haven't. I've called him. I've texted him. Okay, no response. Guess what he does? He provokes. Being a good deacon. He's pushing. What? To do what? Provoking one another. Unto what? To love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting. There we have that word again. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Instead of canceling out on a Sunday night to watch the Super Bowl, we're still having church. And guess what I'm doing? I'm setting my DVR. And I'll watch it when I get home about 7:30. You know what? I got to take a breath. You know what we're doing when we stay home from church on Sunday night to watch a stupid football game that doesn't matter for anything? God, I don't care about you. All I care about is a stupid football game. You are putting an idol of football before God. I might make you mad. You can leave here and cuss and fuss all you want. But I am sick and tired of Christians putting football ahead of God. I'm sick and tired of it. So get mad at me. Go ahead. Get mad at me. I don't care. Because I know that I'm speaking boldly, confrontational, but I know I'm right. I know I'm right. The Patriots will win or lose regardless of whether you're watching. The Eagles will win or lose regardless of where you're watching. It will still go on, whether or not you are sitting at home in your living room or not. It's still going to happen. Let's go to the second thing. God's messenger is bold in his teaching. He's bold. Confrontational. Confrontational. Let's look at verse 15. Let's go back. Verse 15 where it says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. He's bold. How is he bold? A couple of areas here. He is bold in covering all of the great truths of Scripture. He doesn't leave anything out. He's expositionally teaching. Expositionally preaching. Book by book. Chapter by chapter. Verse by verse. I hope I don't embarrass Yvonne. I'm going to mention you this morning. Sorry. But she told me you've been coming here what? 8-9 months? Okay. She used to go to a feel-good church. Nice way of saying it, isn't it? Lots of singing. They give out earplugs as you walk in because the music's so loud. Joey Kellett used to live near there, and he said that he could hear what was going on in there inside his house because it's so loud. And very topical teaching, very topical preaching, if you can call it that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you said that you have learned more Bible since you've been here in this little bit of time than what you learned in all of the years you were there. Yeah. Why? We teach doctrine. We teach doctrine. Letter B proclaims the truths of the gospel. He doesn't change it, nor does he water it down. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, this is what he said. He said that if I or an angel or any other creature preach not the gospel, let me, that angel or any other creature, be anathema. That word anathema means damned. May I be sent to hell, is what he is saying. If I do not preach the gospel, may it never be said of Lighthouse Baptist Church that we do not preach the gospel, that we do not deviate from doctrine, that we are bold in our teaching and in our preaching. Number three, God's messenger prays for God's people. He prays for God's people. Verse 16 says, That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles, praying for the Gentiles, praying for them. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 of how Christ is portrayed as our priest. But then in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, the apostle Peter describes us also as a priest. When I pray for you, I am being a priest for you, a go-between. But also when you pray for me, you are being a priest for me. So here's a question. Do you pray for one another? Do you pray for one another that we will all grow spiritually? That we will all grow physically? That we will all grow mentally? Be protected mentally? Be protected physically. That our families will be protected. I was saddened the other day when I saw on social media a family that attended here, that were members here. I thought were strong in their family. Moved away and are now separated and seeking a divorce. Both of them profess to know the Lord. We're now divorced. Moral protection. Financial protection. Emotional protection. Emotional needs. Do you pray for God to protect? And for them to grow? The fourth thing is God's messenger preaches to God's people. He preaches to God's people. Verses 17 through 19 here. Three ways that Paul preached. His preaching was all about God and Christ, never himself. He was never preaching about himself. He was always pointing people to God and pointing people to Christ. Secondly, his preaching emphasized obedience to the Lord. Christ said, if you don't love me, if you don't obey me, you don't love me. That's pretty strong. So I used to ask my kids when I would tell them something and then it went for a while without getting done. I said, do you love me? Well, yeah, Dad, I love you. All right, then, well, you'll obey me if you love me. That's what Christ is saying. Christ said, if you love me, you will obey me. Are you living a life of obedience to the Lord? And then let us see, Paul's preaching was a wonderful example of personal integrity. He says, in word and deed. His life was totally consistent with his message. There was no hypocrisy or duplicity. And then his preaching was in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is said of Charles Haddon Spurgeon that as he would walk from the floor, walk up that spiral staircase that went up to the podium where he preached to thousands on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England, that as he took each step, he would say, there is a Holy Spirit. There is a Holy Spirit. There is a Holy Spirit. He was having a desire to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. And number five, he was a pioneer for the cause of Christ. He was a pioneer for the cause of Christ. Verses 20 and 21, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. It consumed him. That was all that was on his heart, soul, and mind, was preaching the gospel. You know what is on my mind when I go to bed on Saturday night, getting up on Sunday morning, and all day on Sunday until I'm done at Sunday night about 7 o'clock? It is what I've got to bring on Sunday school, what I've got to bring on Sunday night, and what I've got to bring on Sunday night, or Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's consuming me. On Tuesday, all day, is preparation for Sunday morning. Wednesday, all day, preparation for Sunday morning. Thursday, all day, finishing up Sunday morning, going into Sunday night. Why? It's consuming me. Let me ask you a question. Does the Lord consume you? Do you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's what it boils down to. And loving your neighbor as yourself. That's what it means. Be consumed. Paul strived to preach where Christ was not already named. He did not want to build upon somebody else's ministry. I'm very thankful that when I came here 5 years ago, we had just a handful of people. I think we had my first Sunday here, we had 12 people. Could have shot a shotgun in here, wouldn't hit anybody. I think Tom and his family, Mike and Sharon Hemingway and Ashley, my family. I think the Bozemans were here. I think that was about it, wasn't it? And the Brewers. Yep, sorry. Oh, he's not here. Okay. All right. And the Brewers. That was about it. I think our offering was $323 for our offering. But look how God's blessed now. Look how God's blessed. I'm thankful that I came here and I was not building on somebody else's ministry. Brother B. Paul strived to reach the Gentiles with the gospel. This is why we support Joey and Candace Kellett in Thailand. This is why we support Justin Rhodes in London. This is why we support Rick and Nancy Montez. This is why we support Pastor Ken when he goes to missions conferences and then when he goes to Peru. That's why we pay his $1,000 airline fare. So here's a final question. Do you have a desire to see the lost come to Christ? What are you doing to reach the lost? You know, we need to get outside of our Lighthouse Baptist Church bubble. We need to get out of it. Start getting involved. Had something funny happen to me yesterday, Darren. I was refereeing rec ball yesterday morning at Terry Sanford High School. All these kids were ghetto kids. They were from the poor of the poor. And I made a comment to a coach afterward. I said, Coach, I want to tell you, I really appreciate your attitude today. Their team got skunked. I mean, just beat down bad. I said, I really appreciate your attitude. You had a great attitude. You could have really got upset, but you had a great attitude. Your players had great attitudes. He said, I better have a good attitude because I'm saved. I looked at him. I know the look on my face was a shock. I said, praise the Lord, man. I wish more coaches had that kind of attitude. He said, well, I'm saved. I better live like I'm saved. Let me ask you a question. Are people going to go to hell because of the way you live? That's a convicting question, isn't it? Are people going to go to heaven or go to hell because of the way you talk? The way you act? Lack of goodness and lack of kindness? Or are people going to go to heaven because of the way you live? Do you live out the gospel? I commend Richard and Joyce Ramos because of the way they work in the polling stations and the political arena. Dick Button, always running for House. He gets beat every year, but every 2 years he's running for North Carolina House. That's living out the gospel in politics. Coaching in Park and Rec. Teaching those kids, living out the gospel of those kids. Being involved in those things. What are you doing to reach the lost? Let's pray together. Our Father God, there are times, Lord, as the Apostle Paul said this morning in your word, they have to be bold, confrontational, admonish. And now, Father God, I pray that we would be full of goodness, filled with the knowledge of your word and of you and of Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit. To love you with all of our hearts and souls, minds, strength. Father God, I pray that as we dismiss in a few moments, that Father, we are dismissed with the attitude, Lord, to love you and to serve you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.